advice.
Oh, okay. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a 9 a.m. general discussion. First item on the agenda is fire standards update. We have Ms. Hall, who's presenting on that.
Collect a question.
He's window dressing.
Oh.
Window dressing.
Square tie and square shirt.
I'm wondering.
Don't worry about it. I'm not going to criticize. You're wearing a tie. That's all I care about. I'm just kidding. It's rich today. It's rich today.
You have
I've been married for 47 years, and I take every opportunity to not have a noose around my neck every day.
That's so true. I don't have one, and I'd rather have this every day otherwise.
You've had a lot of coffee.
You? He's pretty, he's on his A game today.
It's rich.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
So, my reason for wanting to meet with you today is to brief you on the current project of minimum standards for private fire service providers. And that was a project that we were working on with the last board. And so I wanted to let you know where we were at. The previous board chose the option of looking at enacting some minimum standards for private fire service providers. But ultimately, there's a lot of ways to address the structurally unprotected area. Ultimately, you guys are the authority having jurisdiction. So this was one of the ways. That was the way that they picked. But it's really up to you how we proceed from here.
Okay, this is the way that the parties picked?
This is the way that the board picked.
The board picked, okay.
And maybe
to a point, then they didn't pick it. That's kind of how it played out, right?
Right, but as far as looking into that option as opposed to forming a fire district or...
Well, how long has it been since the fire district was voted down?
Was that 2009 we did that?
Probably. Feels like 2009.
2008 or 2009.
I can tell you that I have been getting a massive amount of complaints and concerns over Rural Metro. A new ability to charge for responding to medical calls and car crashes and showing up at places who are subscribed to a different agency and billing. And so I even had stuff forwarded to me from Representative Wilson's office concerned about what's the status of fire in Josephine County. So it's good timing to kind of have the conversation of what do we do. But a fire district is something that... I think people see District 3 in Jackson County and the astronomical pay and unchecked system that District 3 has incorporated, and that alone is enough for this county to say we don't want that. But
well, I think
there's
still
a concern.
It's all in how it's packaged.
True.
I wouldn't endorse a county-wide fire district, but I would endorse the idea that everybody within Josephine County needs to subscribe to a fire service, and I don't care who it is, but they all meet this minimum standard. So you're signing up with somebody, because the people who are not, they're going to get fire protection service. They're just going to get billed for it after the fact. So it makes the sense of like why does anybody buy car insurance if they just pay it when it happens, as opposed to paying beforehand like everybody else does for every other service.
What is the consequence if they didn't sign up?
I don't know. We'd have to figure that out.
I would suspect the homeowner's insurance company would penalize them on their rate.
They don't insure. most of the places that I'm seeing lately that have had house fires that they're destroyed, you then see GoFundMe pages because they didn't have insurance. Because they didn't have fire protection service.
There has to be some means of a potential for a sanctions, I would assume. I mean, this is not the first place that they have.
You can't demand fire insurance that everybody have fire insurance.
No, not fire insurance.
Fire
that you're signed up
for
fire protection service, that they've subscribed to somebody.
I guess
I'm not so
that's
sure
what I'm
about
wondering
that.
How would you?
I bet that there could be some element of a penalty associated. But You could figure that out pretty easily.
Yeah.
So what's instigated most recently is Rural Metro has sent out basically a postcard or a letter rather to anybody that's not subscribed to them saying you are unsubscribed, and if we show up at a call at your house, we will bill you. So how that started is Representative Wilson's office was contacted by somebody who had a subscription through County Fire, and said, I'm paying for subscription, why will I be billed? And I'm hearing stories from both fire agencies blocking other fire agencies at the driveway, which is completely, if you meet a standard, I mean, with the mutual aid and everything else in place, if a fire department meets a standard, every fire department should be treated the same. If they don't meet a standard, then there's a different issue. But there needs to be a standard established that they be treated the same. And I'm hearing of, I mean, both from the letter I read from Rural Metro, essentially shy of the homeowner stopping them at the driveway and saying, do not come onto my property, they will be billed. And it would require county fire or the homeowner to block them at the driveway, which is one of the complaints. Why is that company blocking another? Why is Rural Metro blocking the other, even if it's their subscriber? So this system of having subscribers, if we're the ones that are the mediators, essentially I want to pull them both in the room and say, knock that crap off. You know, if somebody's a subscriber to the other, you don't have a right to bill them. They have a subscriber service. You know, but one is only dispatched, and that's part of the issue. One is dispatched to medical calls, to car crashes, and to fires. And I'm wondering, what right do we have to dispatch a private company to a car crash or a medical call if that person doesn't have that service and they're going to turn around and get billed for that?
Backing up
well, you need
to
it.
The...
Yeah.
The issue of
here.
Mediation. That hasn't ever been the role of the board. And when we convened a committee to put together those minimum standards, that was something that we got a little wrapped around the axle with. Those minimum standards cannot set forth how people will play together in the sandbox. It isn't possible to do that.
I hear you, but when it comes to fire agencies that are private, one in this county has been accepted by all their peers and given full access. And when you have AMR that owns Rural Metro, Grants Pass Fire's current chief came from Rural Metro. They all train together. It's essentially everybody's in the same court versus any other fire agency that would come in. And if we're going to do private fire, we have to welcome any private fire company that comes in that meets a standard.
And they have been at the Fire Chiefs Association on numerous occasions, and they have repeatedly refused to subscribe to certain standards.
And it has to do
with safety on the fire ground.
There's a letter that was submitted in July with the rebuttal of the standards was a matter of, why are they required to have medical liability insurance if they're not responding to medical calls? That makes sense. If you're not responding to medical calls, why would you have medical liability? If they are required to have a $3 million standard of insurance, they said, I have $2 million, which is what my insurer said I needed to have. I will go to $3 million if you guarantee you'll approve my process. But why spend the expenditure if you won't still approve the process? So it was a pending. If you will approve my process, I will get that $3 million. There was no other standard that they didn't meet. There was four items, and they had mitigated two of them, and there was two withholding, and they were both insurance related.
So what I'm discussing is the mutual aid agreement from the Rogue Valley Fire Chiefs Association. That is the operating agreement under which all of the fire service agencies, public or private, work together. That isn't the standards adopted or looking to be adopted by the board, and that is where there was a tremendous amount of friction initially with them.
Sure,
at the chief's level, that was where the friction was? When you said the Fire Chiefs Association, you were trying to get that group to agree on something and then maybe go down from there and say, now we're going to get these people to agree on it?
My role wasn't to get the chiefs to agree on anything. The chiefs long ago enacted their mutual aid agreement or master mutual aid agreement. Everyone signed off on it. When County Fire came in, they said, great, you're welcome to hang out. The meetings are open to the public. And they said, we want to be on your master mutual aid agreement. And they said, great, here's the conditions for that.
That's what I was going to ask.
And they fought tooth and nail, and they said that they were being unfairly pushed out of the arena.
Well, there was a line on the bottom of it. I read the mutual aid agreement at the time that said any chief can deny access. When you have private agencies are not at the same level as public agencies. And if you have a competitor that has the right to block the access of another or get his buddies to, because they're essentially all the same company. When you have them owned by a medic agency in town, and the Grants Pass Fire could not operate without Rural Metro. Grants Pass Fire would not meet their own fire standards if Rural Metro did not exist. And so it's kind of one of those things when they're, to me, they don't represent different agencies when they're in that category. They are one voice, and they don't, it's not like a whole bunch of them. Now, from what I understand, the last letter was submitted in July, and they haven't even put it on an agenda, or it's been on every agenda since and hasn't been discussed, to get that ratified. And they are a member there, but it's still a wish-wash thing. And where we come into play, you know, to have one private agency harassing another and that one harassing the other, and yet we're told by the state fire marshal we're the fire chiefs,
right.
I think we do have a right to set the standard of, if you meet this standard, play nice in the field, or you're not going to play in Josephine County.
I'm not doing a good job of explaining this, so I apologize. The Fire Chiefs Association isn't under the authority of Josephine or Jackson County. They are a consortium that is, it's a committee made up of entities. They can have whatever agreements they want to have.
We don't choose their
members.
We
don't choose their
members.
We don't have any authority over that.
Right.
What we have authority over is minimum standards that we can set forth for any private fire service providers operating within Josephine County.
What I hear Commissioner Morgan saying is setting minimum standards for how that Fire Chiefs Association is going to operate, and that doesn't feel like that's within our wheelhouse. Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to set the standard for that fire association. I'm getting mixed information.
I'm not sure how you can play.
Our fire standards for this county is what I'm saying.
I know, but you're also, you were advocating, and I don't disagree that I think they should play well together, that there's some authority that the board has to require them to play well together, and I don't know that we have that. I hear minimum fire standards of saying you're going to have this kind of shovel, you're going to have this kind of fire engine response time, blah, 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 but not necessarily how they interact amongst themselves in an unincorporated, like not in a fire district. I don't see that happening where they're going to Illinois Valley.
Thing.
Yeah, that's kind of up to them. But they better all be showing up with the right shovel, the right hose, the right fire engine, the trained personnel, minimum standards. And I think that's what we need to address here today.
Well,
so let's start with, you know, tangible outcomes of establishing this minimum fire standards, or the group to adopt that or recommend is the fire chiefs.
This is one place where the free market principle really comes into play, because this has been going on for years. When you have the old Grants Pass Rural Fire Department out here on Bertha Miller out there on Redwood Avenue years and years ago.
I called them the fire, what's the garden hose brigade?
Yeah, Foundation Savers. There was a bunch of names for them because they were not set to any standard. We didn't have standards, so therefore anybody could claim they were a rural fire department and start charging subscriptions, and away it goes. But then you say, okay, here enters Rural Metro, and they have, you know, newer trucks, better equipment, paying better. They have a set of rules to live by within their own deal. They provide a higher quality of service, but it's more money. And yet here are some people say, well, I've got Grants Pass Rural Fire Department. And so the Rural Fire Department, when Rural Metro would show up because the house is on fire, for Pete's sake, and Grants Pass Rural Metro, Rural GP Rural, is, no, this is our fire. And they had to stand down, and so therein lies, but they were cheaper, so you didn't get the bang for the buck, but by golly, you had fire insurance. There's never been any real rules, game rules or whatnot, that there are certain minimum standards that you have to have before you can charge a subscription.
And we have multiple business models operating in the same environment. So you have a model like County Fire that says, we don't have a tax base. We need to be able to sustain what we have on our subscriptions. And so they're responding to, or they're saying that they're going to respond to calls for subscribers. They're not going to be in the business of responding to every fire call that comes out, because they're not going to get paid for that. It doesn't make good business sense. And so that's what they've done. Now they've come into an arena where we've had kind of the opposite business model operating since the late 70s. Where they'll respond to anything, whether they get paid or not, and they look and feel and act just like a public fire service agency.
And so
that would be
Rural Metro.
Which used to be Valley Fire.
Right, which up until very recently was owned by a company out of Arizona
that was
constantly pumping money into them because they didn't make enough money to sustain their operations here because they responded to power line fires and car accidents, and those people never paid for that. So to complicate an already complicated situation, now we have the emotions and the public perception that goes into that that says, well, clearly one of these business models is wrong. Well, other than bad behavior on the fire ground, there I can't say that there's anything wrong with either one of those two business models, but they're both operating in an area over which you have jurisdiction.
And I guess my concern at this point, 911 gets a 911 call, they dispatch near fire. If it's Grants Pass and Rural Metro, the nearest fire truck goes regardless of jurisdiction. They have an interagency agreement in place that if Rural Metro happens to be driving through town and they're right next to it, they respond, they're first on scene, they take it. And so they have this problem. And honestly, with the two in, two out with the supervisor model with the house fire, Grants Pass Fire only staffs two on an engine. And so without Rural Metro responding, they can't actually deal with their own fire. They require Rural Metro to fight a fire.
Yeah.
So they have so incorporated each other in the same thing. The problem is this Rural Metro is private. And according to state fire marshals, we are the fire chief over the unincorporated areas. So you have a private company that is responding to every crash. They're responding to medical calls, and they save people's lives. I'm not doubting that. Everyone on their crew is trained medically and fire.
They're on the equal of Grants Pass Fire as far as their capabilities of what they can do. They can jaws of life. And
yes.
Rural Metro and Grants Pass Fire are on a very even playing field, correct?
Correct.
One's private, one's public.
They subscribe to all of the policies,
same
background
thing.
Checking, yep. Everything that
so
the public agency
So your consistency there,
do.
If you see Rural Metro show up at your house fire inside the city of Grants Pass, they're just as well trained, just as well equipped as Grants Pass Fire, and then Grants Pass Fire becomes the backup and away you go.
Yes.
And then enter
County Fire.
County Fire.
But the newest thing that's changed with that is Rural Metro is now billing people for responding. So someone calls 911 and says, I've been in a crash.
Are they billing people inside the city for responding? No.
Not in the city.
That's part of
in our area.
Okay.
In our area, if they respond to a crash and they rescue someone from a car, and or they respond to a chest pain and give somebody oxygen or defibrillator or whatever, they then bill that person for responding to their house.
And that person's insurance coverage.
And that was what I was going to say. Is their intention to bill unpaid costs by the insurance company, or is it simply to get insurance reimbursement for services rendered?
Okay, so I did have an opportunity. She asked me a question about this in advance of this. I had an opportunity to research that exact issue. And there's a difference between ambulance service and fire suppression service in terms of what they can bill for. So an ambulance provider, of course, AMR is our franchisee, and so there's a contract arrangement between the governing body and AMR. And the statute does expressly provide that in that circumstance, AMR can put a lien, a personal lien, on whoever it is, the individual that they are treating, whether the person agrees to it or not. So they respond to an unconscious person. They don't have to ask, are you going to pay me? They don't have to come into an arrangement along those lines. They can just put a lien on it. Effectively, they don't jump to that step until they send them a bill and just try to get payment either from the insurance company or the individual themselves. So there's a difference there, a big difference between what the statutes provide for the AMR ambulance service and what Rural Metro, the fire suppression side of things, is going to be able to pursue. I would think that if there's no kind of comparable lien, if you will, that Rural Metro can just slap on a home. If they roll up to a home that nobody's there and they start hosing it down, then they can't just put a lien on that property and the owner comes home to a note that says, now Rural Metro has a lien and either you pay us or we go after you through the alternate means. What is more likely to occur?
Then
yes.
It's up to the homeowner to turn it over to their insurance.
Yes.
Or pay it.
Yeah, okay, so,
or say
no.
I didn't ask for your services, why do I have to pay you?
And in a very possible scenario that we'd see play out would be the fire call goes out, Rural Metro races to the scene, even if it's a county fire covered home, And they get there first. They say to the homeowner, they happen to be there, hey, do you want us to put the fire out? The homeowner says, yeah. Well, now you owe Rural Metro, whether you're a county fire subscriber or not. And chances are Rural Metro can pursue that as a contract and send you an invoice.
Separate from that email, though, I've gotten complaints now that they are charging for medical calls.
Well, yeah,
crashes.
Yeah. They can do that. That's statutorily permitted. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, and they're our franchisee. I mean, so they've got special status.
Our franchisee.
AMR is, but the parent
I'm
company
on the
of,
okay.
Yeah.
With the elephant standing on my chest, and I want that guy to start on me. I don't want him to break out his tablet and do a bunch of paperwork and see if I qualify for his thing and who I'm insured with and everything. I don't care who it is. I'll realize how to pay it for it later. I may complain about it later, but you know what? When that elephant's standing in the middle of my chest, I want relief, and I want it now, and I don't care. Just like when City Fire showed up to my neighbor because he was having a stroke. I didn't send them away because they weren't AMR ambulance.
But they paid for it ahead of time.
Through their taxes insurance. But I'm not worried about, in case of an emergency, and I'm going to go back to my old days in the Navy, we didn't argue about who showed up to a fire first as long as they started putting it out. Emergency's emergency. I think we've got to have a big E on emergency. And you know what? Payment, you know how much a lot of these people eat their stuff at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They may send an invoice out, but they'll eat it at the end of the day. And I understand you're going to get complaints. I'm going to get complaints. But you know what? Reality is reality.
Well,
when we're talking police and fire and emergency medical situation, I don't care who shows up. If they have the good... The county attorney shows up, and he knows how to administer. I'm not going to do the CPR thing because
definitely not mouth to mouth. I'm just saying, Dan, we got our line there.
Liability here, and I'm not going to touch it. But I think what we're doing, I think we should have a minimum set of standards. I don't argue that.
Yeah.
And that everybody should follow the minimum set of standards. But in the heating and air conditioning business, I don't work on propane furnaces. You know why? Because propane furnaces, eventually, you will blow somebody's house up. I didn't do enough propane to offset. From the private sector, I didn't do enough propane to offset the insurance premiums I had to pay just because I said I worked on propane. When I said I don't work on propane anymore, my insurance dropped like $8,000 a year. At 3%, I had to do a lot more than that. I had to do a whole bunch of business in order to get that $8,000 to pay the premium. I didn't do enough in propane to do that. I don't do propane anymore. So does that make me any better than Rogue Valley Heating that decides they're going to do propane? Is there a better company? No, I'm just more focused. And
so
I think what we're talking about on...
I still don't know how to respond to a citizen who says, I subscribe to a private company,
mm-hmm.
and I get a letter from the other company saying, I am considered unsubscribed to them. Therefore, if they show up, they will bill me for service.
Mm-hmm.
How is that right? What's the point of having any subscription if any company can bill me?
We can't force the companies to... have mutual aid with each other.
Yeah, exactly. You can't force them to. It'd be like saying, I've got State Farm insurance, and so it's so and so, you know, the other insurance company. Well, I'm not paying you. I got State Farm insurance.
Well, in the days of Grants Pass Rural,
you pick and choose.
Grants Pass Rural was called with every fire, and they would say, "That's one of ours. Don't respond or don't do whatever." You know, they actually on the phone would say, "That's one of ours. We're going," but. It's still a concern.
So this is a less than perfect system, and the perfect system is a countywide fire district. The citizens of Josephine County voted in 2009. They didn't want a perfect system. So they're gonna deal with what they've got, and so we need to improve it the best that we can by setting minimum fire standards and not solving all of these problems. If that happened to my mom or dad, tough. That's the way it is. If you don't like that, then you need to work at the issue, which is a county-wide fire district that would mandate mutual aid agreements amongst all of the different districts or what have you. Solve that problem. But that's not the problem we're talking about today. Today we're talking about minimum standards, establishing a fire review board or...
Yeah.
And the concern I have with that, too, is that it's all the same agencies.
Well, let's address that concern when we establish the organization. And maybe AMR doesn't have a seat at the table.
Well, not just AMR. If you think about every fire district that exists has an elected board over them. They already have an elected authority that they answer to and is liable for their decisions. The exception to that is Rural Metro and County Fire. So we essentially are that authority over them per se, but technically Rural Metro also has AMR and they have that. But it's still, where does this fit in line when you put other elected bodies as authority over an unelected body that they don't have jurisdiction?
I don't know that we're asking for that.
Let's not make it more complicated than it is.
Let's break it down into achievable outcomes and take it one step at a time. So lead us through that, Jenny. What can we do? What do we need to do? What did the board leave for this board to take up the baton and see it over the finish line? I didn't want them putting it over the finish line and you guys inheriting something. Yeah. They're like, I don't want that. That's not exactly what I'm in favor of. I wanted fresh eyes to take a look at this before it was you guys were having to live with it for the next 4 years and say, this is exactly what I want. I have a problem
with setting standards and you know, minimum standards and, you know, if a new company comes in,
they're going to have
standard.
And they meet that standard, then guess what? They're in queue to get called or whatever. You have an issue with Rural Metro sending out cards stating that, you know, if you're not one of our 6 subscribers and we show up, we will bill you.
I don't have an issue. A citizen has an issue that they took to a state representative that forwarded to us. And then I had a group on behalf of Scanner Chat bring to me that they're concerned that Rural Metro is now charging for medical and other things where previously, you know, it's not like they have it. If you call 911 in the other jurisdiction, you have a fire department that's usually paid for by a district or something else. We now have a circumstance that we are, by our own service, giving preference to one private agency over another.
I know I'm interrupting, and I'm sorry, but both entities are dispatched. County Fire is dispatched to every fire as Rural Metro is.
And what I was talking about was crashes and medical. So
it's a franchise arrangement.
They have not asked for that to occur. They have been very specific.
I don't want them going to those. I'm just saying that this was the complaint from citizens that Rural Metro is now charging for service for medical calls for crashes.
So we're back on. That's not. I appreciate it. It's awesome or terrible, unfortunate. Standards and what we can do today.
Standards.
And eventually, if there's a potential for us, you seem much more knowledgeable on this than I am. And maybe even, I want to be interested. I want to be interested. But I got to move forward with the achievable outcome of today, which is to pick up where the board left off last time. And if there's a ability to solve that, I don't know if there is. You know?
I think get the standards in place. That's our role, is to put the standards in place. And the private sector, you bet, they're going to fight things out. It's
a messy.
And we can't really get into that private sector. And I know you're saying there's a connection because Rural Metro and the city have a mutual aid agreement. But those agreements are outside of our boundaries anyway, I think. It's more of the city's.
I want to make it more simple than complicated.
I'm just saying that all activities that Rural Metro does falls under our purview because they are a fire protection agency in our county that is private. Therefore, the standards that we establish and the practice that's in place is our responsibility to look at.
So here's how I think that could potentially work. We start out with the minimum standards that the Fire Chiefs Association Committee put together. And those standards were agreed upon by everyone, including both private fire service providers, who didn't have to do that. And I think you heard me talk at the weekly business session, the very last one, when they were looking at passing those standards. They agreed on all of those standards, so we at least have a baseline. The next step from the previous board was to put together what we called a private fire service provider board. Or maybe it was a private fire service board.
Well, there was an ordinance that would.
Did the previous board agree with these standards, the minimum standards?
Yes, they did. Okay.
There's an ordinance pending that didn't get voted on.
Yes and no. They did. They didn't know.
Right.
That's the answer.
So the previous
board of commissioners? Or
you weren't there. It was, yeah.
Group
it was
of.
Not a good thing. And not the commissioners and not the committee. So
it was like
I feel
on
less
December
about
21st.
What the commissioners, I know you asked that question, but I care less about what the commissioners thought and more about the two private fire protection agencies that are going to be governed by these.
And so
they agreed. They said solid. We can meet this standard. Works for us.
And we will. Yes. That's now, I just want to be really clear because you brought up the ordinance. The work that we did at the committee level said we all agree on these standards. And we agree that we will all implement these standards. That we never got to the next step, which was how are we going to be forced to do this? What happens if we don't do this? That was never discussed. And I don't know whether or not that's an appropriate discussion with the committee, but we never had it. And so our understanding at the committee level was that the standards would be adopted by the board. Potentially a private fire service board would also be put together to help oversee the implementation of those standards.
And develop an ordinance that would govern that whole process.
Right. They would roll out the implementation. They would make recommendations to the board about how we could implement them.
So there's two different things you just said. They would roll it out. No. They would propose to the board to have a governance structure of how to roll it out.
Yes.
Because it's got to have a check and balance, because you can't have this organization. There is no organization other than the Fair Board, which is starting to bother me, that has governance authority like that. That's our job, to say, yes, what you just proposed sounds absolutely right, or item B is not good, we need to fix that, not having AMR and a governance ability over fire protection, private fire protection agencies. That makes sense to me. So
yeah.
Let's adopt the standards if the agencies agreed to that. That's done by order, I would imagine. And then establishing the governing body, that's going to be the challenging one for me.
So until we actually get the list
of the standards?
Of the standards, I don't feel comfortable going forward with that.
Okay.
And my other question is, fire services in Southern Oregon provide services that is not required of a local fire protection agency. So, to have a requirement that medical insurance be a part of something when fire protection is not responding to medical insurance.
You can take
that
out.
Okay.
Just consent.
I'm just saying, if you say we're going to go...
Totally endorse that.
Okay.
We intentionally stayed away from the medical issue.
I don't think it's included in here.
Okay.
What I remember.
In the standards.
I just heard that
and appropriately so. I mean, that's
yeah.
covered by the franchise agreement.
We
might run afoul of that, really.
Exactly.
So the standards, which are included in what I gave you, intentionally do not discuss medical, because
Perfect.
Medical is not a requirement within fire service.
Yeah.
County
Good.
Fire doesn't provide medical service. That's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
They're a private
choice,
company.
Exactly.
Should they ever choose to...
That's a big jump in their business plan.
Well, and just like with your example with propane, should County Fire ever decide to go ahead and get in that business, there's Oregon Revised Statutes and Procedures that govern how they do that and what they have to follow. That isn't something we need to do at this level.
And a franchise agreement. You know, so, yeah, we got to abide the agreement just the same as AMR does.
Well,
we can't kind of...
Yes.
That's a pretty good size leap to take on medical.
That's the point,
that's not... If they're not comfortable with that as a company, we can't force them to do that.
No, and that's why it wasn't in here.
Have the board responded to the three questions from the Rogue Valley Chiefs?
They weren't... The Chiefs were not expecting a response to those three questions. So,
but have we addressed it through our process of having the question?
We kind of did.
We did?
We did. What we looked at doing was ultimately having the private fire service board make a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners when they looked at implementation as to these three issues.
I would challenge that, because what I know is that each agency can make their own decisions, but in Oregon, the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training is who establishes what backgrounds are acceptable or not.
Well, there's actually three different ways by which you can receive your Firefighter 1 certification. DPSST is only one of those. We went around and around with this, and there's two other options, one of which does not require background checking.
But DPSST...
Yes.
Is required.
It is. However, the committee would not reach consensus on DPSST as being that standard.
Coming from 20 years in this service, that's hogwash. For them to deny DPSST, who is by far the most restrictive agency that I've seen when it comes to law enforcement backgrounds, I mean, to the point of, I can't hire someone who had a charge in another state that was a misdemeanor, because the equivalent charge in Oregon is a felony, so therefore they would not be able to be certified as a parole officer. They set a strict standard. My concern is with the wording of this, is it says, our recommendation is that the county develop and implement a background standard that meets the county's needs and ensure that firefighters operating in Josephine County meet that standard. There's a department in Oregon that sets standards of training and certification.
One of the private companies currently employs a convicted felon.
He does not work there anymore.
At the time that these standards were enacted.
And they still have their DPSSD certification.
I'm simply explaining why consensus was not reached at the committee level. And we were tasked from this board at the time, we were told not to come back until we had consensus on all of the issues or if we were deadlocked.
I'm just saying that if there is a statewide standard of certification.
I would recommend that be the standard, Commissioner Morgan. It's you're very well versed in this. So say that's what it's going to be, and that's what it's going to be.
Well, and that's why I asked if these three items have been addressed by our board.
I think what Jenny wanted to impart was that previously her directive had been to get consensus and don't come back until you've got it. And now what's
come back
kind of
with those things that you don't have consensus on, and we will figure those out.
Okay. Now there's a bit of a departure that's occurred there. I think everybody's cool with that as long as everybody gets that.
Yeah.
And the previous board had the intention that the fire service board committee, whatever they were called, would ultimately look at this and make some recommendations. The expected recommendation on the background checking was to use county policy. No, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's
a good place to start.
That
tell us why that doesn't
what
work.
Happened.
Tell us why that's not going to work for them, because it works for us. It works for a lot of agencies. If that's the state standard, we're not going to deviate from that, or unless you have a really good excuse or reason why. It probably doesn't exist.
I absolutely understand why having a felon on a house fire is a concern. I also understand that DPSST is the strict standard statewide, and they certified an agency even in that circumstance. There's a question of why are we setting a standard that the state is not setting?
So the issue is that the person could not receive their Firefighter 1 certification because of what was on their record. So it's not a certification of the agency, it's a certification of the individual.
And, okay.
But the individual can work to have that expunged if they wanted to.
Not all felonies are expungible.
Okay, all
right. Here's, if an agency would hire, I mean, there's different standards. They still received DPSSD certification for their agency. And DPSST did not require them to have every firefighter certified as it's your top person as their certifiable is what your agency standard is.
But all firefighters must receive a base level of certification as a firefighter by one of three certifying organizations. DPSST,
whether it be wildland or structural or
whatever, and DPSST would not issue that certification to someone who didn't pass a background check.
Then there's your standard.
There's another company that will, that is one of the three nationally accepted, and so that was where we came back around to ultimately at the committee level saying, look, the commissioners are the authority having jurisdiction. Let them decide what the background checking standard should be for agency personnel operating under their authority in the unprotected area.
Okay. Well, I guess from my standpoint, having been somebody who's gone through background check training and done background checks on folks and all that kind of stuff, I understand that, but I also want to look into what DPSST standards are for fire agencies and have an actual clarity on what the state standard is. On that one.
And ultimately, I believe this board would be making the decision on the three issues in question. It's simply whether or not someone needs to bring a recommendation to you, or if you want to
just say that's the way it is,
or do the research and
Let's see.
I can see there being buy-in from those agencies if there was a separate, you know, third party making a recommendation, but you know, the nuances with this are so thin And if they don't apply to anybody right now, it's a pretty good time to assert them. I would do whatever it is that the county has as their standard and apply that. And it's justifiable, it's defensible, because that's what we use. And I would rather not spend too much time on it and move it forward as part of the standards that we are proposing.
What county policy
I don't know
exists on background checks for firefighters?
It doesn't for firefighters. It simply does for employees.
Not employees.
Our employees.
But, okay, so an employee background is not the same as certifiable through state DPSST standard.
Absolutely correct.
And so if you look at Sheriff's Office, they have a higher standard.
Yes.
And
so that would probably be what I'd
yes.
apply. Whatever's the standard.
And that is very complicated. The ORS is very long on what that standard is. But I would say the easy recommendation would be follow background checks regarding to DPSST standards.
Did the Fire Chiefs Association across the board, did all of them agree that they, what was their pushback on, was there one company that had pushback on background standards?
Yes.
And then the rest of them all agreed?
They already do it. All of the rest of them already do
only
it.
Only one of them said, I can't hire anybody because everybody that applies for me has a, you know, I have a lot
no.
of felons that come.
They had one person that they had thought had made it.
And it's a non-starter in
but,
my mind.
But with all due respect, the argument made, which I think is a valid one, is how much control over a private enterprise does the board get to have? And that was really the nexus of everything that we discussed at the meeting. Background checking was just one very hot example of that.
Okay. Going from that standpoint, we don't say background checks are absolutely a must, that they're part of the standard period, that's it. Because and all of a sudden we have an issue and it comes back to us, are we going to be on the front page of the paper stating that we softened up because of one company had a little trouble on one deal. We softened up our baseline. I don't even want to say this, but we have an organization here in town that had an employee. They did a background check on him, and he came back not consistent with what I would think the job description should be. And they go, yeah, but we thought he was a changed man, and yeah, I looked at it, so on and so forth.
I had that work out for Boys and Girls Club last week.
I was not going to say the Boys and Girls Club, but now you did, yes. And all of a sudden, boy, the pushback was absolutely, what are you thinking?
Yep. But that's why I say we're not establishing a standard. You go with what the state standard
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
And then
and
it's
the
not
state
us.
If the standard says that background checks are required, then I think that.
But
for certain types of personnel. I apologize.
Yeah.
I know I'm interrupting, but I want to be really clear. That person could still work at the agency. There are just
he
certain capacities in which the person couldn't work.
He wouldn't be a firefighter one, and he could never get to that point.
Which is kind of that baseline. He couldn't be a firefighter.
He could do wildland firefighting.
He could work in the office.
Yeah.
He could do a number of things, but he wouldn't be put in a position where he's knocking on someone's door at 2 o'clock in the morning requesting entry into the residence in a uniform with an engine. That's the concern.
And I guess for me, my only standard is let's make sure that we see what DPSST standard is exactly, whether it's different for an agency as a whole or if it's individuals, and we know what we're asking before we implement something.
Yep.
I absolutely support a background check, and I don't think people get exceptions. But I also think there's a standardization statewide that already exists that we go by their standard, and that's the standard.
And if it changes, we're not constantly trying to keep
correct.
Up. They're doing the research. They're the ones setting
they're the ones
standard.
Who pick which misdemeanors, which felonies,
yep.
which whatever meets the standard. And if there's a statewide standard that's already in law by ORS, so that's for me, my preference would be I'm happy to call DPSST and get that for us and bring it back, but I want to know what that standard is.
I think we've already done that, and I think I have it, so I will
and
look.
Was everybody at the meeting in the Fire Chiefs Association, were they all in, saying, yeah, we can go by the state standard, or was there still one holdout?
They have their DPSST certification.
Okay.
So even with that felon on board, they have their DPSST certification.
Okay.
So that's why it comes down to what does DPSST require of a fire agency? not the individuals, what do they require of a fire agency for certification and standards? And so...
I don't think DPSST certifies the fire agency. I think OSHA...
In their case, they said their agency is certified through DPSST, and that was the language they had used.
I think we'll need to verify that.
And that's why, to me, again, let's go back to DPSST, not take it on the word of any individual. Let's go straight to the source of what the standard setter is. As far as the insurance levels, again, do we set a standard of an insurance level for a private entity? Or where's the county on the hook for that?
Well, we do for that's public here. Works and for many other contracts. And so that
all
was
of them.
That was where
all
the
contracts, we have a minimum.
Okay.
The consensus of the committee was very much in favor of ask the county. They're the ones that are going to be the boss of this. They've got standards set.
The highest liability standard for insurance that we've implemented recently is $2 million on the Dimmitt campus. Otherwise, it's just typically a standard of $1 million.
So they have $2 million liability insurance, and the fire agency wants them to have three.
The request. Yeah, and the request was that the county would look at, you know, CIS, or is it AOC? Special districts. There we go. Is what I'm thinking of. What are the other insurance requirements out there for like services?
For fire.
Which I understand is what Public Works does when they come up with the standards for when they have Public Works contracts and then ultimately make a decision about what they felt was appropriate. But that wasn't something that our committee was tasked with down in the weeds of doing.
Maybe they should be. I don't think we're members of the Special Districts Association.
Any one of the fire districts would be happy to provide information to us.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Of a committee working on the implementation.
Here again, they're asking for a ruling, and I think that's what we need to give them. If we say it's $2 million, then it's $2 million. If it's consistent with other, you know, when I used to bid government work, and I quit doing it because of the... They said right in the deal, in the RFP, that you will provide this kind of insurance for this project. And if you had to go get it, if you had to go get a floater or an umbrella or something, that was your responsibility to do that.
Yeah.
It was if I said, I'm not going to go to $3 million. I'm not going to go to my insurance company and pay, you know, $1,100 for a $3 million umbrella for this particular project. I'm not going to do it. Then I choose not to bid it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
And I guess that's where I'm coming from, is what is our standard? What's it based on? Why is there a difference between $2 and $3 million? All those other agencies that have a standard, again, have a higher authority behind them and a different thing. So when we're looking at a private agency, what is that standard? What's it based on? What's the number developed from? And have a standard that is defensible versus is it random? Where did $3 million come from versus $2 million?
I think we have to establish that, because I can see, okay, we're all going to get to $3 million, and then the other company is going to say, no, we want $4 million. You know, there's a potential there. So we have to establish that number, and they can live by it. If it's $2 million, then the other guy's overinsured. He's protecting himself. Insurance is to protect himself, not to protect me. But if our standard is, if our level is $2 million, it's $2 million, then if it's consistent with what we do for the rest of the county,
yep.
Road projects and whatnot.
Well, that would be consistent,
the
yes.
consistency part, say, well, no, we're going to go to your particular line of work, and we're going to make it $5 million, and we're going to make it $3 million.
And I agree with this third one, that we needed to have everybody kind of establish what is their standard of service. You know, I know one question came into play, that there was a car fire up on I-5 and they were driving by. Do they stop and put it out since they have a water truck and they mm-hmm. could put it out? Or do they let Rural Metro respond and put it out because they're the ones that were dispatched to the fire? So having those things ahead of time, if you are a structural and wildland firefighter, you are not a car firefighter on I-5. If you're not dispatched to it, you don't answer those calls, even if it's a need. Or do you? Is this Good Samaritan, or is this... And so I think that's one of those questions that gets answered with the third question of what standard of... You will define what service you provide, and you will not provide any service not declared outside of that thing.
That you're not an emergency first responder, in my estimation.
Yeah.
Their requirement is not an emergency first responder.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll put anything you want on, but if I'm driving by a car or fire on Interstate 5, I'm not qualified, but I'm, you know what, I'm the first guy there, and I'm going to do something about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to drive by. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to not stop the bleeding on a guy that's bleeding to beat the band because I don't have my rubber gloves on. and I'm not qualified to stop the bleeding, I'm going to, by God, stop the bleeding any way I can.
Well, and that was their standpoint, is they stopped. They called in and said, we're here. We're trying to help these people.
I
would have
called in, I'd have done it.
They were doing it, but they have more than one person on scene. You do communicate in a fire.
Let's not get too down on the roof.
So, but the reality is do they have the authority to do that? And that's the question that has been asked to address here.
Or is that an expected minimum service level?
Yeah. And I think that's why it's being asked that we define it, so we deal with that, is all I'm saying. Their standard is, there was someone needed help, we stopped and fought it. The other fire agency comes on scene, sprays opposite of them and puts them in harm's way and ignores that they're there. And so, again, this battle on scene between fire departments.
That's a sibling problem.
One of the mindsets of the committee was that if we establish these minimum standards, especially ones for training, which include the incident command system training, that that will help with some of the, what you call, sibling rivalry, in that some of the siblings aren't actually receiving the training on how one behaves on the fire ground. Mm-hmm. Say we have a new company that comes to town that are absolutely clueless. The way to help them enter the fire ground safely is to ensure that they've had at least that minimum level of training. If they choose to behave badly after that, then that's something different that can be addressed differently.
Isn't that kind of the whole point? I mean, like, you know, behavior on a fire scene is kind of what you're trying to ensure is not dangerous.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency, but I guess the training would be the part that gives them consistency or perceived consistency. Yeah, they all have the same training, so therefore they should all act the same when they get to the fire. And if you're saying that what one of our standards should be is that they all meet these requirements of such and such a training, and that's it.
And we've done that in here by establishing these standards. Should we choose to adopt them, that helps set the baseline.
Okay, we'll read that in the standards.
There's also never been an agency or authority that has stepped in and told anyone how to behave on the fire service or on the fire ground in the private fire sector. And so sometimes if you have kids that fight like cats and dogs, at some point when the parent consistently steps in, then people start to do what they're told. But so far, we haven't ever told them that they can't do these things.
And that's what the ordinance would do.
Well, I would like time to look over these. And
yes.
Yes. My only purpose here was to say, here's where it's at, and ask you kind of what you want to do. You know, ultimately having you decide if you want to pursue the standards, if you want to pursue a district, if you want to reopen the entire thing entirely and do research again as to what your options are.
Well, I know the city of Grants Pass has toyed with the district probably more recently, a little bit stronger more recently than they ever have before, to the point of talking about whether or not they should put it on the ballot or not, a fire district. But then it says, okay, if they're a fire district, would they, you know, they would have the ability as a district to not just be in the confines of the city of Grants Pass, they could go outside that. And they could actually swallow up rural metro or whatever they wanted in that. This thing could get as big as the district could get as big as the voter allows and go from there. So I don't know. Districting, that's more, I don't know whether, put it this way, I wouldn't say, the county needs to have a fire district. I don't think I would support that.
Well, can I tell you that just because they have a district does not mean they have a standard.
Yeah,
there are fire agencies in this county that won't live in that community because of the fire agencies in that county or in that community. So then you have something like Illinois Valley that has a standard where they train all the time and they respond and they have a healthy volunteer program and all that kind of stuff. Rural Metro does set a high standard, and that's great. Illinois Valley sets a high standard. I can't say that of all the fire districts just because they're a fire district. And, there's concerns that there's still people that are in a district that aren't getting service. So a fire district's not going to answer all the issues. There's still response time issues. There's still others. But when's a good time for us to bring this back to give us time to look at it?
It's up to you guys.
Yeah. It's up to you, too.
I don't know. I will. At least I this week's gone and the last week of the month, we've already established that we're out to April already, so probably have some time. And
unless you want to look at next week.
I don't remember what the schedule was next week. Next, I know we're at AOC Sunday, Monday, and I'm gone Friday.
I'm open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The 14th, 15th, and 16th.
I'm open.
With the exception of Wednesday afternoon, I have a 1:30 meeting with the courts that I have.
So Tuesday is either general discussion with legal in the afternoon. Wednesday, we have the weekly business session. It's the only thing on the calendar on Wednesday. Thursday is packed. So it'd either be Tuesday or Wednesday or wait for April. I don't know if I can hear back from DPSST in time. I can make a request, but you're still at the mercy of, are they in, are they going to respond?
I'm not looking to have that decision made by you guys by the next time we meet. I think what we're looking at is, do we want to go forward and adopt standards? Do we want to revisit the issue and kind of what is the game plan? Or am I wrong?
No, I think the proposed standards right now have the element of certification background is still something that could be addressed, and so we need to just chart out a course of how to address that. You sound like you're proposing that the board establish a directive, or there was the other option of establishing that oversight committee that would make a recommendation to the board. It can work either way, but that doesn't have to hold up implementing the standards as they've been presented right now. They can always be amended in the future. So,
and I'm not prepared to approve standards, these standards, without looking at them. And
right. Commissioner Morgan, step back. No, it's not what I'm saying. So we still have time, but you don't have to wait to hear back from DPS, just whatever that acronym is, in order to approve what we're proposing. Or if you want to step back and say, I want to address that question before we approve a comprehensive set of standards, and I want to establish the review committee before we do this, so that they can take another look at these standards. We need to decide a structure and a process of how we're going to arrive at.
I'm looking at the first question is, does the board want to take on establishing a set of standards or not?
Yes.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Now, what I would suggest is that where the kind of friction has occurred in the past is that the rubber has to meet the road in the enforcement apparatus. So, you know, you got to be prepared to enforce this stuff if you're going to actually adopt some standards down the line.
And that will take some time and thought. But I think just to say, yes, we're going to establish standards from the board's level.
You're saying that we can't do standards without having the ordinance probably parallel. And so if that's the
yes.
case, then the real question is do you want to establish that review organization, and then you establish the review organization recommending this set of standards that's already been recommended, paralleled as a recommendation that would come from that committee, say, you can change these standards, but these are what we like. We want to have that issue of background checks. And when you propose those, we need to propose a proposed ordinance to govern that set of standards so that we're approving it. I think you're right.
Including
the
penalties.
Need to come together.
Yeah.
You know, the governance element of it. That sounds a lot more work. I like breaking it up. But
when we put together the structure for that review committee, the intention was for them to, for the public or the private fire services to be represented on that committee, and basically for them to then hash through how do we go forth and implement these, what's reasonable time frames, and how do we bring this to bear, and then come back and make a recommendation to the board that can say, here's how we think that we can go forward, here's what we think should be in the ordinance, here's what the committee thinks is fair, and here's what we view as an implementation plan for this.
How is that different than the ordinance that was already presented to the board that was put off to us?
Nobody ever looked at that ordinance. That wasn't put together collaboratively by a review committee.
Correct. No,
that said,
okay,
we've all agreed this is how this could go forward.
That was.
I see the
that
first
was,
step.
Yeah.
The first step.
That was not a good process for
that. We're going to have to set a standard, and then that information right there goes to your committee and says the board has spoken. They want to have a set of standards. And then the argument can be as to what those standards are, I guess, amongst the committee. And then they submit that to the board?
Well, I see that as already having been
yes,
done.
Yes, we did
and
that.
It could have.
And this is, and do we want to accept these standards?
Yeah, that this is good groundwork, and maybe that's exactly the way it
And that's
go.
Why I want time to look at it.
Okay.
His and reference to adopting standards without the ability to enforce them, I think has merit. I don't know that it's an end-all, be-all to not adopting those and a tentative state. Having reviewed of implementation, I don't think that that's impossible to do.
It sounds like
the
standards are not going to be agreed on in the next 15 minutes.
Well, I think they already are. This group has already said yes to them.
Ratified by the Chiefs Association.
Commissioner Morgan wants to review them. I think that's appropriate.
I'd like to review them. I think there's a couple that are vague, and I'm not saying I think that they could maybe be clarified a little better.
Good.
And
I would agree with that.
I am in full support and willing to check this out. I just want a chance to look at it, see what we're asking.
We're not going to say that you don't have a chance to do that. It's like, what happens next?
Are we in agreement that we as a board want to set a standard?
I think so.
I'm in agreement with that. I'm going to say yes. But as a board, we are going to set, we want a set of standards. We're not saying what those standards are.
Right.
We're going to let people come back, give you, Commissioner Morgan, a chance to check that out. So, you know, she's satisfied. This is just a outline of, gee, these are some suggestions, and we'll build on that. But do we, as a board, want to establish a set of standards? Yes.
Yes.
I'm saying yes.
So then what we're saying is the next logical step is to look at the formation of a review committee, not the committee that developed the standards.
Right.
A different committee with different people on it. Because that committee represents your interests. The committee that put together these standards represented the interests of the fire service community,
right,
including the private companies.
That makes sense.
And so when we put together the proposed, which I believe this is the most current version, but if it has the wrong number of members, then it's not the current version, but it is an outline.
Well, you are going to know that.
That it's an outline.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So
that looks at what agencies logically.
I don't
want to
go over this today. I
no,
want you guys
this
to review
is
this on
food
your own,
for thought.
With the standards, Commissioner Morgan, we will revisit this issue next Wednesday, I think is the best day. Even though it's packed, I think we can do that. I don't want to spend a lot of time, so do your homework on this.
Yeah.
Figure out what you want. Propose that. I'm going to be pretty open to that. I'm not going to, you know, for me, from my perspective, let's just get this moving. Let's get group established to where they can review those proposed set of standards, not 100% refined, but given a good direction and clarity. I think you're absolutely right, Commissioner Morgan. They could probably be less vague.
Well,
and so then we give that recommendation to them and say, you know, in 2 months' time or, you know, whatever you need, get it back to us. We'll adopt those standards and start moving forward with codifying an ordinance that will govern those.
Right. And that committee would also be tasked with mapping, you know, a roadmap of how do we do that.
Yeah.
So this is the one that I just give us a chance to look at and come back.
There's some
because of our circumstance, there's some conflicts that are existing right now. When our one representative from State Fire Marshal's office is still volunteering for one of the private fire sectors, that's a conflict of interest.
It would be someone from the state office. It would not be necessarily Mike Shaw.
Okay.
And
that would be so long as that we don't have the conflicts going, for instance, another representing EMS. We don't have anyone representing EMS that's not the parent company of one of the private sectors. So we have some innate issues built in with the
membership.
Absolutely.
Yes,
that's
but that was why
to.
EMS was as a non-voting member of the committee because of AMR's interest in rural metro.
Great.
So there's voting members
and
non-voting members because we want those whoever the non-voting members are, we want to be able to get feedback from the people that are affected by this. But we need to have... We got a vote. That committee that we have that developed these standards was incredibly challenging.
Yes.
And with all due respect, these are private enterprise companies. They are out to make money. That's what you do in the private sector. There is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we as government then have to move forward and make some decisions, that really snarled up our process. And so I would ask that we come with a review committee that can be effective, yet still getting input from those companies.
Great. Any other matters from commissioners?
Right there. I had a conversation yesterday with Mr. Bauer.
Oh, good.
Marty Bauer on the, and I explained to him, I have followed through on you know, the old
yeah.
deed from back in 1967. I can find nowhere in this building or anywhere else where the Board of County Commissioners ever approved bringing those streets into the city county road system. And that's what would be the cam over point to our responsibility versus not. It's very specific before on the signature page that until the Board of County Commissioners accepted those roads and streets into the system, and
yeah.
I explained to Mr. Bauer, I think the trigger for that would be if the whole plat as it was proposed on paper and all the streets were in and all curb, gutter, and sidewalk were brought up to county standards, that then you could petition to the Board of County Commissioners to accept the whole thing in. But until that happened, which it never did, there are all still dirt roads out there, that it never was accepted by the Board of County Commissioners to be part of the road system.
Yeah, he hasn't
so
produced
I,
any
so
documents to that until
in,
he does.
I put the ball back in his court, and I said, Marty, here's what I need from you. I have looked for a non-existent, what I think is a non-existent document, long enough.
Can't prove
and
a
I,
negative.
Yeah,
you can't prove a
I
negative.
Prove
he should
negative.
Be looking for this document,
yes,
right?
I said, so but, here's what my deal is to you. I said, I think you really should, if you can produce this somewhere, you know, if it's in your basement in a box or something, I need to see it. But until then, the Cathcarts right now entered into an agreement, and you bought a piece of ground in the Cathcart subdivision. You bought a piece of ground, but the Cathcarts had an agreement that until they took care of it and brought it up to a standard, is what I'm assuming the trigger is, it's just a non-starter. And so they have, and I suggest.
Do we have a standard on ditches? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I know we do.
One of the things is that I did suggest to him after going and looking at the site, my suggestion to him was to give an estimate of what this thing's going to cost. And he's done that. And he has, you know, he said, well, there's some ways we could save money. And I said, I'm not interested. He said, he has a shale pit on his property that he would be able to supply most of the riprap and the big boulders and stuff. And I said, that Marty, it's a private road. I can't give you standards as to how to bring that up or what size pipe to use or whether you plant cattails on one end of it. I can't do any of that.
I feel pretty good about where you've...
It's out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And so I feel hesitant of giving him any kind of advice whatsoever.
Not,
because then
not your wheelhouse.
All of a sudden, I am stepping onto the field.
This brings up an interesting point. In Douglas County, they have something, an order, that they are not accepting any more privately developed roads into their system.
I think it's fantastic.
So I think I'd like you to reach out to Rob Brandis and that the board would establish an order.
We
just can't, you know, with our dwindling reserves, the funding streams for these things,
mm-hmm.
I don't... It's even if they do come up to standards, we don't have to
you
accept
don't have
them.
To
we don't
them
have
in.
The maintenance background. We have no idea what
no.
was made
well, that's,
that road underneath.
No, if they want to, they go through a process of where the Public Works comes out and reviews it. They'll look at the subgrade, all that drainage. They do all that. What I want to do is not give anyone out there the expectation that even if you do all that,
and
you're
you
not accepting your road.
And this paragraph on that deed is very specific that just because you deeded it to the county and the county is the grantor and the grantee and all that stuff, just because you deeded that does not mean that maintenance follows that deed.
Right.
It's
right.
just a land transfer. It's all it is.
And it's not accepted.
There, you could do that without a road even being there.
Yeah.
Yes, it's got to be accepted.
So the trigger, and I told Marty, I said, Marty, if you want to know how some of this stuff gets dragged out, Beacon. You ever wonder why Beacon never did? It's not up to city standards?
Hmm.
He goes, no, I never thought about it. And I said, because it's not going to be brought into the city till it's a city standard. That's still a county road up there. Holy cow.
And it won't be.
And
we're never going to invest. Why would
we? We're never going to. There's no reason why we should improve.
Perfectly satisfactory to county road standards.
Yeah.
In fact, it probably
is
in excess.
It is.
But for us to invest $3 million
in
curb gutter sidewalk, that'd be cheap.
It's far greater than that because of the
But even
the
still.
Scope.
even still, I mean, if it was $3 million, I'm going to spend $3 million somewhere else in our infrastructure to mitigate safety issues or something like that. Not putting in curb gutters.
Something important like restriping the parking lot out here in the courthouse for the people to park in their place. Oh, teasing. Just kidding.
Would you mind working just on kidding? That? I think it's less of an order. I think it needs to be codified by ordinance. And
I think we should bring it up.
That's a great idea.
Way back when I find it, like this one here, 1967 when that thing was deeded over.
So from this point moving forward,
we need
the
to
road,
I
the
think
road.
You're constantly going to bump up against.
The portfolio that we have is what we have.
We are always up at, Slate Creek's another example. You know, who, what is it? Where does it stop? Why is it in county? Why, that's a county road. Well, no, it isn't. Yeah, it is. No, it's Forest Service land.
Sure.
Stop. You know, it's an easement. But, you know, does the lady have the authority to give the easement? I don't know. I mean, that's up to them.
So, I think that we didn't quite give direction on where we're going with the next step. We are going to establish an advisory board to look at this stuff. Do we need to pick who those members are?
Well, we're looking for the structure. No. We don't pick members yet. We don't we'll advertise.
So Jenny's recommendation was a review of this.
Yeah. You want two members
that's
from
separate
those?
From the previous. I would almost,
this is the new group.
I would
do you want this group first?
I heard a review to see if this to check this to make recommendations.
Yes, that's what.
And so that review, who would that be? I would almost recommend. I would like to be there with Jenny and maybe someone from legal. Or I mean, unless it needs to be something more than
this
that.
This is you taking a look at this and saying I endorse all of this, or I don't. I don't want two members from Josephine County Fire Defense Board. No, I want five. I want one. You know, you're looking at this structure and saying what you want. It doesn't need to be a separate meeting, although it could be. If you needed more information than what you can just get off this page. But on Wednesday, I would like to have an outline of this doesn't work for me, this does work for me, and a recommendation of the group so that they can codify that, establish that. We'll pass an order to do so, the weekly business session, and then we can go advertise.
Okay, and that's different than what I heard you recommend.
So what I'm looking for, what you have before you is basically a proposal. We think that the purpose of the review board is what's stated in the purpose, and we would suggest that the people that come together to do that should represent the agencies that are listed under membership. What do you think? Because they work for you and they accomplish your purpose. So after everything you've heard today, when you look at purpose, did we miss something? Are there things that you'd like to add in? Does it make sense? Did we put something that just shouldn't be there?
Okay.
And again, the members, when you think about what needs to be accomplished, from what agencies would you want to draw staff to put together to a review committee?
But twofold. First off, we do want to set standards. That's question number one, is do we want to set standards as a board? Yes. And then we move on. A separate question is the makeup of the review board.
Well,
and
maybe
the
there's
and
three questions.
And
so
the
there's
standards.
Do we want standards, yes or no? If the answer to that is yes,
the answer's yes. Let's
what
move on
do we
from that.
Think about the standards that were presented
okay.
today?
We need time to look at that.
Yes.
So standard,
you know, like this one, don't like this one, need more information on this one. And then who gives that information?
The
review committee, do you do that yourself?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. I don't know that next Wednesday we would have that to be able to present it, but I can go through and say the ones I have questions about and do that today.
Let's make progress by next Wednesday.
And didn't you say that even though if you had questions on one, we could still pass it and amend it?
Well,
I mean, you could
on
still
the standards, they're still in flux, because I could assume that we're going to give those standards to this newly established group
and
for a final review before they're codified by ordinance after they recommend them.
So what's
us.
Wednesday, other than our weekly business session, that we'd actually review this? Are you saying take this to our weekly business session already?
No.
Well, okay.
No, don't we have a meeting on Wednesday?
We do not. That was my confusion. I apologize.
We'll get a meeting on Wednesday if there's one
so
available.
So have just a general discussion on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And that
okay.
would work.
My hope in the
I was trying to
give
you more time.
Up.
Otherwise, we can do it on Tuesday. I'm prepared to do it now, but I think you guys need more time.
Yes.
So giving you a couple of days to work on that. It doesn't have to be perfect, but I'd like it as close as possible. A lot of work's been given on this, and the standards are less of, you know, perfect at this point. The group to do it has to be done. So
well, and I think
if I had a priority, you know, I would focus on the group.
I know there's been a lot of work been done on this, but please
indulge
us in
yep.
getting up to speed.
I want
to
know
that's
what you
the whole
mean.
Point.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
that's what
the
has
whole
never
obviously
come back
if it
to
was
me.
That
it's
cut
feedback.
Dried,
okay. I absolutely want standards.
They were going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want it
want
based on local personal biases. I want us to have a standard that's above local personal biases
and defendable.
Correct.
And very defendable.
Yes. So that's where I'm coming from, is that it not be about any of the companies or the personnel involved, that we have a standard that's why DPSST exists. There's a standard that's statewide no matter what agency you work for.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that's why this is important, that you can't have personalities and preferences and different companies and competition. Create a standard that's not,
so
I want.
That's your criteria.
Yeah.
Do you have
yeah.
anything else?
Well, no, I also am concerned about conflicts.
Good.
So
and that's
we'll
do
come
that.
Back
address
and bring
yes.
it next
and tell me
I
want to
be patient,
think,
but at the same
feedback.
Time,
yeah.
you guys need to think about those things. And, you know, I care, but that's your job.
Yeah.
To
and
go
you've
through.
Already,
you use your criteria. I don't like people with blonde hair, so I don't want anybody.
Well, good thing none
I'm just
of us
kidding.
Have.
That's
well,
why
sorry,
I use blonde hair.
You, know,
you use your own criteria. You know what I mean?
So you could say you have, I don't like people with no hair. That leaves you and
I wouldn't say such a thing. You
but
do
yes,
you have any
exactly
other matters
that.
From commissioners from general
okay.
discussion?
There was. We got a letter from the sheriff asking if we would take part in a discussion on March 21st. I believe I have a conflict that day, so I don't know if you're available that day. It was the. I have fair board meeting that night, and I've missed the last 2 months, so I really need to be there. But it's the North Valley Community Watch Group. Or do you know if you're available?
Yeah, I think
there?
I already responded to that.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure that we address that.
Good.
I attended they started a new Republican men's group, and
mm-hmm.
I attended the first one last night.
Nice.
Council Hicks spoke and expressed his passion, which was fun to see.
Hopefully, he didn't have a mic because he can get loud.
I can't.
Yeah,
I can't. And
he
I did.
Stood.
I did
get enough
loud.
To get worked up to say.
But,
sure.
but I was next to Dennis Dixon and Denny Stahl.
Yes,
so, relative
reform,
terms, yeah,
me?
There's no
cumulative effect.
There's no shrinking away.
There's
no
sitting next to Dennis and not getting, you know, it's like.
Oh, they're energized.
Charismatic, to say the least. So, anyhow, I just had a chance just to thank. Mr. Ockenden, Mr. Hunker, and Mr. Rice for taking part. I
oh, that's
think
great.
That's important. That I realized yesterday, it's like, you know, yes, this is a solution that I care about, that we have public safety in our community, but I think more importantly is the goal of getting our communication out there and having open communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the end result it's of a levy. It's the end result of how are we effectively reaching our people and hearing from them and getting the word out.
Journey, not the destination.
Something
this is
like
part
that.
Of the journey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to end after
and it
we
won't have
to.
It's not
right.
going to end, as we said yesterday, on May 11th.
So planning out the next one,
on.
There's a couple of people. Ms. Kirkpatrick Pilcher was interested. I don't know when or how this works. It's really been in your wheelhouse, Commissioner DeYoung. But I if we're going to revisit these things, I'm not so sure how much... maybe having a more specific element
mm-hmm.
of what we're trying to address and having a real goal assigned
right.
to this as it goes forward. I thought the general was good.
We should have an agenda. I mean, we're far enough into this thing
yeah.
that when we have another meeting that this is these are the points that we want to touch. If we get...
Well,
if
Mr.
We get,
Rice had the charge of establishing a vision, and I think that's probably the overarching
yes.
element of we're
yeah.
moving forward
yeah.
is how do we codify what are
right.
those visionary elements that we want to have for a 5 and 10 year plan?
And I was contacted by a couple of people that are interested in being a part of that.
Great.
And I think that would be more effective moving forward, even as they said, maybe don't keep it in this format anymore. We've had these discussions now. Now how do we get to a working plate template of what are these elements that we need to explore? Who explores them
mm-hmm.
as these recommendations? How do we continue to receive recommendations to explore?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one of the things that and it's huge, but we shouldn't think small. And I think one of the things that was around the table yesterday was public perception of Josephine County outside of Josephine County. Oh, you're lawless! It's the wild, wild west. We have to get all of that put to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And collectively, we have to put out the word that we're not lawless here. We just maybe have a little different idea of law enforcement than what than what is conventional, because that's the way we've been forced to do it. Mm-hmm. We're thinking outside the box.
Well, let's set up a time where we can talk about a vision and the elements.
Yeah.
I've been giving it some thought since yesterday, and I'm sure you guys have too.
But I thought we got a lot of
structuring that and putting it on paper.
Yep.
It's really important that for me, are most efficient with the time that we are given. I'm looking at this that I'm not going to be here that much longer. So when you guys are here, that you're coming in and you're aggressive about trying to spend every moment in a product producing a vision, you know, that you're walking out of here. The problem that I've seen in 6 years, and I don't want to be impatient, but you guys will look back at your 4 years and you just talked a lot and you didn't actually put something on paper and move it forward.
Yeah.
And we're not striving, I say this a lot, we're not striving for perfection. Because like with this standard, people have been talking about doing this for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it for another 20 years. The North Valley Sewer District. What are we doing tangibly every day to move the ball down the field and have a product left and say, you know what, I don't have to deal with that anymore.
What's
I can go on to this. So if I have ever given you the impression like it's because we have 1,000 of these that we need to get.
Get them done.
And we haven't even started talking about everything we need to do.
It's also the first thing we've officially got.
I agree.
People ask me out on the street, they said, well, I hope you like meetings. And I said, three. And they said, what do you mean three? And I said, I'll go to three meetings on one subject and I'm done. If it isn't solved in that, my private sector
over
experience,
it.
A problem walks in that door, a solution walks out, and I'm done with it.
Exactly.
So I can
having
move on
that,
with my business. I have other things to think about than one or two little problems during the day. I did it for 37 years.
It's so easy to be atrophy into the bureaucracy that is around us.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We're the private sector side.
That's my frustration with economic development.
That's why I don't think that a summit is the next step. It's a work group of that goal and that visioning.
I think that'd be time very well spent.
Nice.
Very well spent.
Well, I want the group here yesterday. That's all I. They don't ever leave with anything else. Each one of them have their own little nuance of the levy. But at the end of the day, just say, so none of you are for funding the jail. The proposal. We had trouble getting back to
the proposal.
The actual
you said
jail
that yesterday.
Proposal.
Short-term
we kept wandering
goal.
Off on little bitty nitpicky things that, and that's why I took Vivian to my office for what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
She was in there. And I said, so tell me, well, I don't like 5 years. And I said, you're not going to get three. So that's the end of that.
Oh, move on.
I don't like the timing. I said, so I laid out the timing. And we have to be in May of 17 because you know what? The other alternative that was suggested, clear out to May of 18, which makes us getting paid in November of 19. 2.5 years from now, you want to do that? I'm looking at June. I'm not looking any farther than June 30th. And I can't.
Yeah.
So even September was out. Why cut it on September? I said, no, it's double. It's double
$60,000.
Mm. It's 60 grand, and it's double majority. And we've never achieved double majority. It had failed before you even put it on the ballot. Mm. So guess what? I said, it's May. And she goes, well, I guess it is. And so there you go. You start fielding those objections. But collectively around the room, other than Mr. Hooker, he's not coming off of that. But around the room, I saw wags from.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody going, yeah, you're right. You
we
know, this
fund
is about the jail.
We want to fund the sheriff. We want to fund the jail.
This is about the jail. I get it now, so on and so forth.
Okay.
And do we have enough time to pull this off? That's up to Lily and I and the sheriff if we do have time to pull this off. And we might.
There has been a question of if we want to pick a group to run the committee that would focus on signs and different stuff like that. I said, I hadn't thought about a committee.
No.
This is.
I haven't either.
My goal is to get
definitely not.
Out there,
no.
And it's not. That's not
my goal is to mobilize the public with that handout so they can start handing out and get that out, get on the internet and hand that out. Mr. Ockenden made a statement yesterday, you guys are going to fail. I'm telling you right now, you're going to fail because of this, this, and this. You know, the wrong time, you don't have time enough and everything else. And I almost said, you and I had a conversation a week before the election that I was going to fail because I had done this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. Who are you talking to right now, sitting in this chair? Did it work? Yes. Did I do things conventionally? No. I'm here. Guess what? Deal with it. And I think he's wrong. I think we've got so many different things that are different about this one that have never been done before. And the same thing, even Vivian said, you know, you're right. This is the first time that the Board of County Commissioners has absolutely said they're going to back up their chair. I said, how can I tell you to vote otherwise if I'm not willing to back my own employee? Not employed, my own elected, fellow elected official.
Sure.
Confidence. And we do need to sign up when we talk. I think you mentioned
draft a resolution.
Draft a resolution that
yeah.
we are
right.
in favor
That's
of
right.
our sheriff. in favor of this proposal.
That's in my...
Providing public...
You want me to do that? Am I supposed to do that? I am supposed to do that.
I thought it was you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was you too. Long.
It is me. It is me. We are in full agreement.
I did.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be...
Well, that's where we're at.
Okay. With nothing else, I've got other things, but we'll do it at a different general discussion. Time is of the essence, and I gotta go. So we are adjourned at 10:25.